Let's talk to the Channel 7 commentator Trent Copeland about the Ashes and about the Big Bash that's happening as well. Hey, Trent, how are you doing?
Going well. Great start of the interview. That was brilliant.
Yeah, he was really fun, Nathan Lyon, yesterday. Do you know what? We were saying yesterday, sort of pleasantly surprised that there haven't been too many po-faced sort of analysts and commentators and ex-players saying, you know, this is a disgrace that they went out, or it's a disgrace that opposition players are fraternising together. Most people seem to be pretty relaxed about the fact that they'd had quite a long time playing cricket in a bubble and it's okay to have a beer afterwards.
Well, yeah, and particularly given that a lot of these people aren't able to go out publicly and have a drink, you know, that everyone else in the population can. And even in COVID times, you can, you know, go down to your local cafe, things like that. A lot of the last 12 to 18 months for these guys has been locked away. So, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you flip it back probably 3-4 years ago around South Africa and the Sandpaper Gate time, and it was like, oh, how bad is our culture? No one has a beer with anyone. You know, we're not going in the opposition shed. So you can't please everyone, but I'm with you. I think it was brilliant to see. You know, first thing I thought, Travis Head sitting there talking to Joe Root and Jimmy Anderson. I mean, how good would that have been for him to sit there and, you know, chew the ears, no doubt, about social scenes and numerous other things, but to talk cricket with those guys, particularly English conditions, things like that, that's really where you learn and get better.
And Copes, it's great to talk to you as well. Yeah. But like, that may well be the highlight of the summer for us, just seeing that footage of guys having a nice time. But I want to know what you think, Copes, about what was this? What are we going to think about this summer? Like, what was this summer? These Ashes. I know the Women's Ashes have just started, of course, but will it be Mitchell Starc's first wicket? You know, the emergence of Cameron Green, or will we just think about this summer as, oh, geez, England weren't great?
Well, firstly, here goes, you and Pez are taking over the world. So well done to you two. I don't know how you do it, everyone.
Honestly, I tried to get many other people to do the show with me, Coach. I was really struggling. And, you know, and then Sam tried a couple and he was woeful, and he goes, had a terrible start to this one. So hopefully this will be the end of their media career.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they've weaseled their way into Channel 7 as well. So, hey, I'm only joking. I love your work, boys. And you know what? In regards to your question, I think the Starc start of the summer, and certainly when Ben Stokes was originally not coming, then he was confirmed to come. My ambition or view of this series was that we were going to have a contest. We were going to have the likes of Ben Stokes at any given moment can take a game away from you. We just never saw it. And to be honest, I'm so disappointed for Joe Root that he didn't have guys go with him at any point, other than one man who I reckon you guys will have spoken a lot about. But I was, you know, if anyone from the opposition grew legs this tour, it was Mark Wood. I thought he was unbelievable to watch, 150 k's an hour regularly, and just kept coming and kept making an impact every time he had ball in hand. So great summer for the Aussies, and, well, yeah, as you mentioned, the women started off in the same vein last night.
I could have been different if Jofra Archer had been here, but, you know, one player's not going to make all the difference. There was one thing I noticed. I think Travis Head, you know, we eventually worked out that if you bowl short early to Travis Head, that he doesn't like it.
Doesn't like it.
But what I don't quite understand is, you know, you worked that out sort of after about, you know, half a day, Trent. You know, they come back to you, you know, you're holding a bat or holding a ball saying, this is what I would do. Why aren't the England coaches watching you or listening to somebody commentating on this? Because it took us, you know, it took that innings at the Gabba. It took the innings, I can't remember whether the second brilliant Tani got, you know, was that Sydney or was that Hobart?
Hobart,
you know, and then we worked it out and you're like, why has it taken them that long? I mean, there's so much talk about whether Langer's going to stay, and England fans are going, what are you worried about? Like, we've just been absolutely hammered. And, like, they're all saying, oh, I think we should stay on because you can't get rid of us because, you know, if you get rid of us, it'll just be someone a bit like us.
Well, I couldn't agree more, to be honest. And it started at the Gabba. If I'm being brutally honest, analytics drove the entire tour in terms of selections, and it couldn't have been more wrong. You know, no Jimmy Anderson, no Broad. What do you think David Warner would have been doing 3 months in the lead-up to the first test at the Gabba? He would have been practicing, what on earth do I do to Stuart Broad around the wicket? And then when we did see Stuart Broad in the team, what do you know? Around the wicket, he got David Warner out a few times. So those two guys missing there. And then after 25 overs at the Gabba, Mark Wood doesn't play the second test. because we need him later in the series. And then no frontline spinner at the venue that spins the most. And guys like Nathan Lyon call it his favourite venue in Adelaide. It was just remarkable to watch from the outside looking in. And I, you know, that Travis Head example is one of the greatest examples. So John Lewis and Chris Silverwood have to be those people that drive, you know, the little chinks in people's armoury. They are the ones that need to work that out along with the captain and the players. So, yeah, really, really disappointing series for England in that front.
Copes, BBL finals are right upon us. And we've seen that Steve Smith tried to play for the Sixers in their knockout game against the Scorchers coming up, and CA have blocked that. Surely the Big Bash needs the best players to be playing when they can, surely.
Look, I really don't want to open a can of worms here, but I am so filthy at this, and for a number of reasons. It's got nothing to do with Steve Smith. In this instance, it is relevant to Steve and the Sixers, but we are a tournament that we're citing rules from 2 weeks ago that were written. Okay, they were written on the fly. They clearly didn't consider the possibility of other people, you know, this New Zealand tour falling over. The one thing our entire BBL has lacked is the best players playing. We now have a window where our best players are available for the final series. I understand from a couple of other franchise point or club point of view that it may seem unfair. At the end of the day, Steve Smith has been a Sixers player for his entire career. If it was a random one-off game playing across the other side of the country for a team that he's never been associated with, I might understand, but this tournament is bigger than, oh, we don't think that's fair from one club's point of view. It is so much bigger than that, and we are not getting the bums on seats and the viewers that we should get because of the quality of cricket. And, you know, that's, you know, there's a lot of logistics that need to go on, and I must give full credit to CA, the BBL and the broadcasters for actually keeping the season alive. It must have been and continues to be a logistical nightmare. But what is most important, our best players play in this competition. Our best players are now available, and we're blocking it because of a rule that was written 2 weeks ago. It just doesn't sit well with me.
And who's making that call? And do they have the, would they possibly change it, or does it the egos get involved here? I mean, that's the with all sports administration, that happens at some point.
Yeah, and look, let me be clear. I'm not sitting inside the room where they are making those decisions. I've got no doubt all the clubs bring to the table respective challenges that they face if they would allow this to happen, let alone the impact it would have on potential win and loss record. But I think we need to look past our nose in this sense. And to be honest, I don't see it changing now that the rule has been ruled today. But I can understand someone like Moses Enriquez and the Sixers' frustration. But look, I think broadly, we might look at the contracting system or something that stipulates these guys that it's not feasible to have someone like Steve Smith on the Sixers roster at the start of a season because he's likely not going to play a single game. But have them associated with a club, so if this happens, we're not without our best players. And then you can also use them for marketing purposes, things like that. So I'm not proposing that I have all the answers. It's just frustrating in this sense that we're not able to have the best players playing.
To be fair, I am desperate to see Justin Navendano go around again. If he's taking Steve Smith's spot, that's right. That's right. Hey, Copes, the test rankings have been updated. Australia's number one test team in the world. Pat Cummins, number one bowler in the world. Marnus, number one batter. Australia hasn't played in the Way series since, I think, the mid-90s. Does this give us any safety just because we're number one again? I mean, it's not actually real, is it?
Yeah, we've worked this really well, haven't we? Yeah. We never play away from home and we'll actually be the best team in the world. Yeah. But look, I think the problem is people referencing it at this point of the year. I think the ICC have actually done a really good job on having people associate success with those tables and those rankings and things like that. But the reality is the team who's number one it's a percentage win model that is really not relevant at all until the end of the calendar year. So, you might celebrate that Australia are number one at the moment, but really, you talk to any team around the world, it doesn't mean anything until the World Test Championship. So we have our toughest stretch of away tours coming up in the next 4 months, where we've got, I think, 3 subcontinent tours. That's really where we're going to be tested. So I reckon judges come August rather than right now.
Trent, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate your time.
No worries. Pleasure, lad.